Reading in Acts at the moment, and what are we reading in Acts? We're reading of Paul taking the gospel to a new community, in fact to a new continent, as we saw last week. This is the gospel coming for the first time into Europe, and we're in Philippi, and we looked last week at the way in which God opened the heart of Lydia to respond, and her home became a base for the gospel. So let's read the next part of this story of Paul and his companions in Philippi. We're reading from Acts 16 and verse 16, and it's page 1112. Let's listen together to God's word. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us about, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned round and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. And when the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he'd come to believe in God, he and his whole family. And when it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly, without a trial, even though we're Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come in themselves and escort us out." And the officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the city, from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. And after Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met the brothers and encouraged them. And then they left. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word.
Thank you. Conscious we're running a wee bit behind, and as you notice, that is a big chunk of a passage, isn't it? So somehow I might need to jump over some bits and pieces here. We'll see how we go. I've entitled today's sermon, The Gospel Shakes Things Up. Remember last week, it was the gospel goes out God's way. Now we see how it really does shake things up. We're going to see how the gospel can reach any sort of person. Lydia, a wealthy, independent woman, a slave girl, a Roman jailer. The gospel can reach anyone. But we're also going to see how those who think they're in control, or certainly look like they're in control, the slave owners, the evil spirit, the authorities, that big sturdy jail, actually, they're not in control. There is a power greater than all of them. Okay, so we're going to have a wee look at this slave girl, how she is released. And then the jailer, he is released from his despair, and then Paul and Silas are released. But let's first look at this slave girl. Paul and Silas are, and Timothy and Luke, we presume, who are with them, are heading off to that place of prayer down by the river, and they're met with a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. There are so many young girls like this girl in our day and age. 45 million slaves, supposedly, in the world as I'm speaking now, who are in complete and utter bondage. Here's a young woman who is doubly enslaved. She has an evil spirit, but also slave owners are exploiting her, making a fortune out of her fortune telling. But she latches on to Paul and the crew, and she's shouting, well, what is true? These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. You'd think, well, it's free advertising. Well, no. Would you really want a demon-possessed person advertising some Christian meeting that you're putting on? No. It doesn't look good. It's not really the advertising that you want at all. And after many days, Paul eventually, well, the text could say, gets annoyed or is troubled, as the NIV, or even grieved. There's a couple of things going on there. He hates to see this girl exploited under the oppression of these slave owners. But also, he does not want the gospel to be in any way aligned with the occult, with the devil, with demon possession. And so he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit leaves her. There's the power. That's the power that's stronger than any power. In the name of Jesus. It's not just a power, it's a person. The person of Jesus Christ goes with Paul and all who go out with the gospel. The person of Jesus Christ. Remember I said last week that it's Jesus who's doing this. He is the one who's building his church. He continues the work of spreading the word about what he has done on the cross for us. And so as the Spirit leaves this woman, so does all the profit making for these slaves. And actually Luke uses the same verb. Therefore, as the Spirit goes, so their fortune goes with it. And you see a lot of shaking up there, don't you? An exploitative economic system burst open, shaken up. The power of Jesus setting this captive free. It's wonderful. But his followers, Jesus' followers, they're going to get some kickback for this. They did a good deed. Well, look what is coming next. It's not pretty. They're grabbed. They're dragged to the marketplace, or what it was called then, the agora. The marketplace in these Roman colonies was the center of civic life. And the magistrates, two of them probably, sit in authority there. And they hear this case brought by the slave owners, who happen not to mention the fact that the real reason they're annoyed is because they've lost all their money. They just say, those Jews, these men are Jews. So what's that doing? Well, that's feeding into the anti-Semitism that can be, would certainly have been there in that town and still is alive today. These Jews, and then us Romans, they're messing up the way us Romans do it. So they're fanning the flames of bigotry and prejudice, racism. These Jews, these outsiders. And they're trying to say, look, we're standing up for what it is to be Roman. Of course, the irony of it is there are two Roman citizens. But you know what? The authorities don't care. They are swept up in this fervor too of how dare these people come in and mess up our customs and traditions, and they don't even listen, or they certainly don't ask any questions to find out the fact that Paul and Silas are Roman citizens themselves. It's illegal in the Roman Empire to beat, to whip a Roman citizen. It is illegal to put them in jail without a trial. And they're going to do both because they are just swept along by this. So Paul and Silas, after doing this good deed, they're stripped. How humiliating. They're beaten with these wooden rods that the magistrates would have a servant carry along with them to show their authority. They're beaten with those. What a horrific scene. Then they're thrown into jail, seen as dangerous prisoners, to put into the inner cell and manacled their feet in these chains. Wow. Are Paul and Silas in control of this situation? Well, the easy answer is no. Absolutely not. They could not have comprehended that this was going to happen. They release a demon from a girl and suddenly they're beaten and thrown in jail. I mean, what? This is probably the first time Paul, he talks about it later, was beaten. It would have been an absolute shock. Now they have bleeding backs, aching limbs. They can't sleep because they've been placed in this awkward position in the cell. Are they in control? No, they're not. Well, they might be self-controlled. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, are they in control of the situation, of the circumstances they find themselves in? No, no, no. They have no idea what's going to happen. It's well beyond their control. And yet, they know the one who is in control of this mad, crazy situation that they find themselves in. Don't we sometimes get sucked into situations beyond our control? And isn't it the truth with us followers of Jesus? It can be the truth with us. That we find it really hard to grasp. That even though we are following the God who is in control of all things, who loves us, who has adopted us into his family, yet we find ourselves in situations totally out with our control. Afraid, not sure what's going on, hurt, reputation in tatters, loss, pain. Don't we find it strange sometimes that we can't say to people who want to know about Christianity, well, if you follow Jesus and become a Christian, the probability of bad things happening to you goes right down. Well, that would be a great seller, wouldn't it? Yeah, you don't need to worry about problems, ill health, he'll take care of it, all that stuff. He'll sort it all out, it's fine. No, Jesus doesn't say that. So we can't sell the gospel like that. And we're left going, how does this work? How can I be thrown into a situation I have no idea what's going to happen? None of us have any idea what's going to happen for the rest of today. And yet we're following Jesus. Why won't he give us the inside track? And if I'm honest, and maybe some of you, I want to be in control. I have it on my mobile phone screen, a number of truths. The first one is, I am not in control. I need to tell myself that every day, because I want to just be in control of the situation. And yet, Jesus Christ says, I've not come to make sure all the circumstances of your life are convenient and comfortable. No. I've come to call you to this adventure of faith. It's not safe. It's not convenient. It's not comfortable. It's a life of high risk, of unknowns, and of sacrifice. Does that sound boring? No. Does it sound scary? Yes. Is our Christian life really comfortable, convenient, and just how we want it? There's something wrong going on there. We're maybe not following Jesus as he's calling us to follow. We're staying within the safe margins. He's telling us to get out there. Because he wants not just to shake up the world out there, all those authorities and slave owners, he wants to shake us up. He wants to shake me up. He wants to shake up my self-reliance, my desire for comfort and for earthly ease. He wants to fix our eyes on the one who is in control. And sometimes he needs to throw us into difficult circumstances. But Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That is a truth we can hold on to. But when we're in that jail, when we're in that dark place, sometimes doesn't feel like that. And the jailer. Think about this jailer here. Wait, do you hear that? What's that noise? It's coming from deeper inside the jail. It's, what is it? Singing. Singing hymns to the Most High God, to Jesus Christ. It's those crazy Christian people that have been thrown into jail. They're singing hymns. Those guys just got beaten up an hour ago. They're singing. They should be sobbing, not singing. They can't sleep, so they've decided to sing. Wait, they've stopped. They're praying. They're praying. Can you hear that? They're giving thanks to God for his love for them. They know he's in control. They thank him for his gospel, the gospel that will save men, women, slave, free, Jew, Gentile, that is open to anyone and everyone. They are praising him for that. Verse 25, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Do you want a picture to sear into your brain of what a Christian is? This is the perfect picture. Someone told me recently that one of the sermons from thousands that they have heard was one many years ago, talking about the singing of Paul and Silas in this jail cell. It is amazing. Wrongly accused. It's midnight. It's dark. They've been beaten, bruised, chained. They're not in control of the circumstances and situation, and yet they're not alone. They've got each other for encouragement. And they're praising. And they're praying. And they're trusting in the one who is sovereign, who is in control of all things. He is there with them, giving them the grace they need to bear up under this burden and be a witness to others. Our loving Father allows his children to be plunged into the darkness of midnight. Sometimes our worst case scenario, to show us his love, to show us his care, to show us that he is there, yes, at midnight, in the darkness, in the cell. Are you there this morning? Is it midnight in your heart, in your life? You don't know what's going to happen. It can't get any worse. Praise him. Pray to him. Trust him. He is there with you. He will turn us into cell block sinners, into praying prisoners. He will be with us in it. And then he sends an earthquake because he can do anything he wants. And he's going to shake this building and rip off the chains and burst open the doors. And this is good news for prisoners, isn't it? Bad news for the jailer. He wakes up, thinks they're all gone, and is going to kill himself. Likely an ex-Roman soldier, this jailer, an army vet, and he's thinking, well, if the prisoners have escaped, that's my job gone, that's my reputation gone. In fact, they might kill me for it. Here was a man that lived with a sense that he was in control. Likely known as the tough jailer guy that no one had ever got anything over. Brilliant track record, sound, safe pair of hands. And it's all good. He'll go to sleep soundly tonight. And so he sleeps in the knowledge that he is in control of all things. And he awakes to find it's all gone. It was all a mirage. He wasn't in control at all. Everything he relied on that seems solid, his track record, his competence, his strength, these iron chains and doors, and they've all been found to be vulnerable. And all that is left for him is suicide. He has so completely built his life around being in control, and then it's seen as a mirage, a nonsense, and all he has is despair, and all he wants to do is get out of this scenario. We can't comprehend it. And yet, there are many in our world today, people we may know, who think there is no hope, there is no reason to keep going, because everything they trusted and relied on, it's been turned out to be nothing. And they are taking their lives every day. In our country, I know there are a number of reasons for suicide, but one of them that many people commit suicide for, they've lost hope. There's nothing left. We have a message of hope for every person. And here, this prison guard discovers that the message of hope is waiting right there in the cell. And Paul and Silas have the compassion to share that message with him. Paul shouts out, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." Don't you see how Paul could have said, "Serves him right. Go ahead." That's what happens when you mess with the servants of the Most High God. That's what happens to you. "Come on, Silas, let's go." No. "Don't harm yourself. You have beaten us. You have manacled us up. But don't harm yourself. Because this Christian life is not about us being safe and God protecting us and our reputations and our possessions through this life till we get to heaven. No, it's about him using us to share that message of hope with everyone. Even those who hurt us, even our enemies. do not harm yourself. He cries out. And so this jailer who had fallen asleep to the singing and the praying to this Jesus says to these guys, what must I do to be saved? And Paul, look, he knows this guy is, he's not read the Bible. He doesn't know much about how this whole Christianity thing works. He's going to keep it very simple. He's going to just give him the gospel, the wonderful good news. Believe. You don't need to do anything. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. There's a promise. Faith alone, in Christ alone, Jesus dying in our place so we can be forgiven, so we can have life. The good news that opened the heart of Lydia and that she received, now the jailer's heart is open and he receives the same good news, him and indeed his whole household. And it totally changes this jailer straight off the bat because he starts washing their wounds. There is a repentance there. Someone has said, unless faith makes a man kind, it isn't real. And there's something to that. This big burly jailer shows his kindness. And maybe with the same bowl of water that he washes their wounds, he and his household are baptized with. They're brought into the family of God. And like Lydia, open heart, open home. He serves them up a midnight feast. They celebrate together as children of God together. He has been released. This jailer who was kept captive by the lie that he was in control of his life. He's been set free from that to love and to trust in the God who is in control. Wow. Amazing. And I don't know if there's anyone out there who's saying, but I need just one or two more sermons to get this faith thing straight. I think I need to do a few more good deeds and get my life together before I can follow Jesus. No, you can do it this morning. We'll talk to you about it after the service. What are you waiting for? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. It's not what we have done or do, it's what he has done and will do for us. It's simply laying hold of what he is holding out to you. After listening to Lydia and this jailer's conversions, we can't think it's some complex thing that we need to figure out. Just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Finally, and very quickly, Paul and Silas are released. The magistrates think, okay, a night in the jail cells will sort them out. They say, okay, they can be released. Paul's like, oh no, we're Roman citizens here. Now, they could have gone, great, now let's go out and start spreading the gospel. I can't believe that happened. But they staged the first recorded sit-in. I ain't leaving. They ain't getting me to go quietly. I am staying here until these guys, those two guys with the sticks, come down here and apologize. And that's what they do. Why was Paul doing that? For the sake of the gospel. For the sake of his fellow Christians in Philippi. Because this mission had to be cleared of any slander that it was illegal. He had to make sure the authorities accepted that they had done nothing wrong and that they wouldn't touch any of these other Christians in Philippi or any other evangelists who came later. He was doing it because he wanted the gospel to go out God's way, to shake things up and to release captives. That's why he did it. And that's maybe an application point for some of us here. Maybe there's something you have thought, could I stand up for this? Should I stand up for this? It might hurt me. It might impact me. Would you do it for the gospel? Would you do it for fellow Christians? Would you do it for society? Stand up, stand firm in your workplace, with the government, whatever it may be, for the sake of others, for the sake of the gospel, because there will be someone standing with you, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we've seen here is the gospel coming in and shaking things up. Yeah, all those exploitative economic systems, the evil spirits, this big jail and criminal justice system and the authorities, it looked like they had all the power. It's the same as today, doesn't it? It looks like all these authorities and all these corporations and all these media campaigns, they all have the power. We're just little people. No, let's not be kidded. God has the power. He is the one in control. And the other thing is that the gospel goes to everyone. To that upper class, wealthy lady, Lydia. Maybe you feel like a bit like her. You're comfortable, and yet you're missing something. That was her. The gospel came to her and saved her. Or that bottom of the pile girl, exploited and maybe resigned to it. She was released. And this jailer, middle class, pretty competent, and yet in a moment was plunged into despair until he was rescued by Jesus. God can come to anyone. He can come to you today. He can get through to you today. And he can save you. How? How can I be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your training, for your encouragement, for your call through your word today, for this gathering that we can have to prepare us for following you wherever you may take us, whatever you may ask of us. Oh, Lord God, shake us up with your gospel. Shake us out of our unbelief. Shake us out of our self-satisfaction. Oh, Lord God, come. Come to us and help us to find freedom in you, freedom to follow you wherever you go. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.